Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, January 13th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, the markets took a dive this afternoon. It looked like they were about to stage and carry on from the rally yesterday, but there's a major sell-off. It started about 2:30 this afternoon. Markets were up over, you know, triple digits this morning, and we're looking at a Dow falling a little down, a little over 2%, but the Nasdaq got hit at a little over 3.33%, the S&P 2.5%, and the Dow 2.21%. We'll get to those numbers. We'll take a little bit better look at them. Let's first go to the gold market. To see what gold has done today. And if I can pull it up here quickly, it had a little bit of a reversal, not a big one. But, you know, a lot of these drops in the stock market always happens after the spot market closes at 1:30. Then you'll see the markets come undone and gold never gets a chance to really react in the spot market. But gold is up 760 right now. At 1,095. Silver was up 39. Silver had a nice day, $14.26. Platinum was up 13 at $852. Even palladium had a nice day, up 15 at $487. USDX today, little pressure, not much, 0.05 on the dollar at 98.94. Crude oil was up 0.25 at 30.69, and the paper markets today, as I mentioned, the Dow was down 364 points at 2.21%, 16,151. The Nasdaq 160, almost 3.5%, 45.26. The S&P was down 2.5%, down 48. At 1890, I mean, the S&P is pretty much wiping out all of its gains for the past couple of years. So 10-year yield, that dropped 2.07%, the yield on the 10-year. Euro didn't move much, as the U.S. dollar didn't. 109 for the euro, up 0.32. Japan and Hong Kong were up big, but the China market that everyone is following had pressure on that overnight. Let me see if I can find that here on my I think it was like 2%. So not a big deal, 2%. And the China Shanghai Composite was down 73 points at 29.49. So a lot of activity going on in the markets. And all fingers are pointing to oil and China. And we'll talk about those two items during the second and third segment of the program today. But first, we have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
I thought we'd talk about how science is going to modify human intelligence.
Where did they find any?
Well, you know, scientific research from London's Imperial College is stating that that they are about to discover the mechanism which they think enables or determines who's smart and who's not. So for decades now, science has been telling us, you know, our human IQ is determined by chance through genes plus some external stimuli. But now science is backpedaling on that. They think there's something else that's involved other than just our what we inherit. So they say that the intelligence of our brain is housed in the cerebral cortex area. That's where your memory, language, perception, and so forth occur. Anyway, they're researching this at the Imperial College of London. They've been experimenting with human genes. And what they noticed that there appears to be two networks of genes, which they think influences human intelligence. So gone are the statements that, you know, genes influence our IQ by 75%. They are saying that there's this exact mechanism that can make a person exhibit excessive speed of processing and reasoning and to hold vast memory and attention skills. They're looking for that switch, Al, Melanie, that would make everybody kind of like a quasi-human computer brain, you know, that you could have, you know, superhuman intellect, okay? But they're selling this whole research stuff as to help people with brain dysfunction, you know, people with epilepsy and stuff, and it probably might help them. But I think the flip side could be even worse. Now, the report that they say in the report, they said the gene networks that they're pinpointing and analyzing, they say that influence our human intelligence have to line up in a certain way for us to have any kind of intelligence at all. So if they scramble that lineup, Al, you know, things could happen, things that we may never be able to unscramble. Cognitive dysfunctions, like we don't even have any idea. So my question is, could science, you know, make all these inherited flaws that go away, that mess with human intelligence? You know, could they actually take an intelligent person and make them less intelligent with flipping around these genes? According to Dr. Michael Johnson, he's kind of in charge of the Department of Medicine at the Imperial College, and they're researching the genes that are relevant to influencing our brain this way. And the team is trying to manipulate and isolate these genes. But you know, this is just a theory right now. They have to actually experiment on humans to get it past the animal phase. So what Dr. Johnson?
Let me ask you a question. If they are preparing to modify people's intelligence,
does that mean
we modify their intelligence after they've been born and they're 35 years old or whatever, and we give them a pill and their IQ goes up 15 points? Or is this something, if it's gene modification, does it have to take place in the womb?
Well, they want to do
all right,
both.
They
want to do both, actually. They want to fix people now that have, you know, brain dysfunction, epilepsy, and things like that. And they also want to nip other stuff in the bud during the, you know, I guess, embryo stage, if you will. But what Dr. Johnson and his team did is they took samples of human brain matter from patients that were undergoing neurosurgery for epilepsy. And they compared those samples to genetic DNA from highly intelligent, healthy people. And they were looking also at those that had neurological disorders, and they were looking for a comparison. So they had brain matter from people with autism and other disabilities. And then the computers were mapping the gene network from all these samples. And they found that there's a match in this one area. There's like this overlay in the brain where you can have healthy brain intellect, and then you can have cognitive impaired individuals just by how these genes line up. And they labeled these genes M1 and M3. So according to Dr. Johnson, who's in charge of all this, he says the human intelligence trait entails a large group of genes working together, and they have to line up in just the right order, sort of like a football team lining up properly to do a scrimmage, okay? So research was published on this in the Journal of Nature Neuroscience. So they want to what we're talking about here, basically, Melanie and Al, is gene, not gene therapy, but gene regulation, okay? And they're using it through the field of epigenetics. And they're trying to secure the rights to be able to influence human brain intelligence. And how far along they're going to get with this is anybody's guess. So this mechanism.
Wait a second. When you say they're trying to influence, they're trying to capture the right to modify the intelligence. Does this touch on any of the idea that they want to patent certain genes that would have to do with our intelligence?
I think they want to patent the technique, you know, the whole process, because what they do is they've noticed that these genes, you can adjust them with the DNA, because the DNA produces a protein and it's called transcription factor. So when they mess with the protein, what happens, it's like flipping a switch and the cell doesn't produce the protein anymore. And the protein is the marching orders for, you know, performance on a cellular level. So, you know, they can change cellular function just by nixing the protein production in the DNA cell. So,
does this have anything to do with Alzheimer's, for example, or is that a different phenomena?
I don't know if they're going to apply this for Alzheimer's. They didn't mention it. They were talking about autism, learning disabilities, epilepsy, and those kind of things. Now, you know, fixing it, you know. There's this whole other section I want to get to before we run out of time, which kind of pieces this all together for you. For instance, regarding how far they're going with this is the Buck Institute of Research on Aging at the University of Washington. They've identified 238 genes responsible for aging, and their theory is if they remove these genes by switching them off, they could, in theory, increase longevity by 60%. Crazy, huh?
Well, it's kind of interesting. It depends on, you know, if you're going to be – you're going to live to be 140 or something like that. Is your body going to still look like it did when you were 30?
I don't know. Or
will it look like 140? In which case, I don't know. I may not be that interested in it.
Well, I mean, if they're going to sell the process, you know, for people who want to live longer, they're going to have to nail all that detail down, aren't they? New research from Massachusetts Institute, MIT, they said that light influences our genes. They're working with light to switch off and on genes. So at MIT, they found that they can actually mess with the gene expression by shining a light on the cell. This concept, actually, Al, Melanie, was dramatized in the movie Men in Black, where there was a quick flash of light, like a strobe light, if you will, that made you removed all your short-term memory, you know. So they are looking at chemical alterations in gene proteins and with regards to all your brain function, your learning, your memory, and all this was published in the Journal of Nature. So they want to actually create a DNA binding protein, Al, that will function as the transcription activator for the cell for the purpose of stringing these genes and DNA sequences together. So it's quite possible that in the next few decades, science may be able to offer, you know, couples wanting to start a family the option to genetically alter or custom design their offspring. How about that?
Interesting idea. I mean, it's not the first time we've heard it, but you have to wonder.
Right.
You know.
Well, here's another thing in Australia, South Wales, University of New South Wales. They have gene regulation going on there. They're messing with the red blood cells that carry oxygen. They want to increase the oxygen flow to help people with anemia and other disorders like sickle cell anemia, things like that. The Australians are calling this gene editing because they can cut out parts of a gene and splice in other parts of a gene to repair it. So they're saying that, you know, if you inherited a faulty gene, they can repair it for you. And all their research was in the Journal of Nature Communications. So you can check that out. And before I leave, I got to get this in. According to Dr. Bruce Lipton, he's the author of the Biology and Belief and Spontaneous Evolution books. He says that we have the power over our gene regulations right now. We can turn things on and off if we want. So he says the new biology is moving you from victimhood into mastery over your own health, according to him. So he says you can influence the genes and the proteins and all these things through diet, stress reduction, emotions, lack of light, excessive light. He says all these things regulate gene expression. So he says, depending on what you want to accomplish, you have that power right now. So if you inherited a genetic flaw, he says you can modify it yourself. Very cool. Well, if that's the case, though, Al, all this medicine stuff is irrelevant if we can do it ourselves.
It raises some interesting questions. What if they give me gene modification to do something to my IQ, and then I turn around and I can actually reverse by an act of will?
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing that bothers me that I just don't understand, I can understand that if you can take a sperm, an ovum, if you can modify the gene within the sperm, within the ovum, even the first egg, okay, I get that, and it translates to the whole body. But if they give me a shot or a pill, and it modifies the genes, for example, in the tip of my little finger, how does it go on to modify all the rest of the genes in my body? How does this happen? It's something that I don't understand.
Well, I guess genes line up in certain sequences, and so that's why they're looking at specific strands and combinations and how they communicate together, because all these DNA cells communicate with each other. So that's what they're looking at. They don't want to cut off something prematurely, so they're looking at how they're communicating before they actually do any splicing or editing. Very cool
stuff. Even that, how do you splice and edit the genes in all of your cells at the same time?
Well, I think the gene expression part is, you know, they give it like a protein marching order. It determines its action. And so I guess it could have a domino effect. I am not the expert on this. I'm just reporting.
No, I understand. It's just strange.
I know.
It is just strange.
It is strange.
You're going to modify genes. All the genes in your body and every one of your cells are going to be modified? That is just bizarre. And it strikes me as dangerous besides that. I mean,
this is a brave new world. I think it's ill-advised. I really do. But I'm just telling you what they're doing. And I think, you know, you get good nutrition in and you use God's medicine herbs, he says here, for the power of man. I believe that. And I think, you know, you're going to sidestep a lot of problems just by cleansing and immune boosting. That's it. I mean, it's simple. It's not rocket science.
Well, the problem with that is there's not that much money to be made doing it that way. If we can get
some patents here,
on the other hand, we can clean up. Why don't you give us some contact information, Wendy, where we can find out how to get more beneficial.
Yeah, today we have a one-day 20% off sale, so they can call in and say, I want the one-day 20% off. So the number to call at Apothecary Herbs is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or they can visit the website, thepowerherbs.com. Thanks for having me. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Wendy. Very interesting. Look forward to talking to you next week. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. We're going to take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I'd like to remind the listeners we have the two packages. We are getting down a little limited at these prices. The AU $5 Liberty Gold Piece, 21-ounce American Silver Eagles for $700. I repriced that today with the higher prices in both gold and silver. And basically, you're saving $45. So it's a tremendous special for the AU $5 Liberty Gold Piece and 20 Silver Eagles at $700. And for the BU Swiss Franc and 20 Silver Eagles, what you have there is $600 for that package. This is the last day I'm going to run this package based on these prices, unless gold goes back and we can still honor them. But and for you late night listeners and for those who listen in the morning, just give us a call and leave a message and we'll make sure that we set aside a package or two for you. 1-800-375-4188. And make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And there's a lot of things to talk about, and we do have a caller. We have Joe from Arkansas. Let's visit with him first. Good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon, Melody. Yeah, I just wanted to add something to what Wendy Wilson was saying, and that is if anyone is seriously interested in increasing their intelligence by simple do-it-yourself free things that you can do yourself, get a book called The Way Forward is Back by Joe Alexander. That's me. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And that book has a very simple do-it-yourself program, which contains the most effective program anybody has figured out by which you can increase your intelligence by simple do-it-yourself things.
You know, Joe, we do need to have you on the program one of these days so you can explain your book and tell us all about it. I know you sent me an email and things just kind of got sidetracked, but and you never you failed to call and send me another email. So we need to get you scheduled, Joe.
Really? Well, that would be really fun if you'd like to do that. No, I emailed you once, and since I didn't hear from you, I figured you weren't interested. But if you would like to have me on and talk about that book, hey, that would be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to get you scheduled.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. What's next, Melody?
You know, yesterday RBS came out, the Royal Bank of Scotland, and they told all their clients, all their investors, is to make sure they sell everything. And I had a good friend, you know, I've known her for a long time. She listens to the program, a client, and over the years we become friends. And she called and left a message last night, and I think there was someone else on the program who might have, on another program, who might have misunderstood and said that the Royal Bank of Scotland was closing. Well, I don't think the Royal Bank of Scotland is closing, but they did tell their clients to sell everything, as we're certainly going to, it's going to be a cataclysmic year. And I had wanted to talk about this yesterday, but we got a little sidetracked. And I think it's important, particularly after we see a almost a 400-point drop, of course, in the Dow, and certainly the S&P is losing all its gains for the past couple of years, and the pressure that we've seen on the NASDAQ. So,
well, the article is from the Telegraph, the English publication.
Mm-hmm.
And the Royal Bank of Scotland warns that major stock markets could fall by a fifth. Huh. And oil may plummet to $16 a barrel. Well, when they say the stock markets could fall by a fifth, I'm saying, oh, really? That's not scary at all.
That's not cataclysmic.
No, that isn't cataclysmic. That's nothing. All right? If that's all you're concerned about, there's no cataclysm in our foreseeable future. I think they're understating what may be the risk right here, but their advice is sell everything except high-quality bonds. Well, my question to them is, where do you find high-quality bonds? All right? I think virtually all of the bonds are at least vulnerable to significant decline in value, and Which bonds are they talking about are high quality? Are they talking about U.S. Treasuries when we have a national debt of close to, what, $18, $19 trillion? Is that high quality? Where do they find high quality bonds? That's not clear to me where they're going to find. And they say, but they go on and they say, and they're quoted here, this is about return of capital, not return on capital. And what they're telling us, they're saying, The objective now is to preserve your capital. Don't worry about making money on it. Just protect it. All right? Well, if we're going to be focusing on wealth preservation rather than wealth acquisition, what are we going to look for, Melody? IBM, General Motors, or something tangible like gold and silver? I mean, wealth preservation is what they're recommending. They think you can preserve your wealth with the bonds. And we've warned for years on this program that all of these paper debt instruments are vulnerable. Some of them will succeed. Some of them will survive. Some of them are going to just flat out disappear. Paper is vulnerable. If you want to preserve your wealth, you need something tangible.
You know, they have to make commissions. So if they sell everything and just have it sitting there in cash and so forth, they don't make any money. So they got to sell them something. So they're, you know, going to slap them into the typical, you know, trade to bonds as a way of security, as a way of safety. And so, oh, that's my cell phone. Sorry, folks. But my question is, they put them into these bonds that are government-owned and so forth. So now they can blame, if bonds go bad, they can blame the government. If governments default on the bonds, they can blame the government. It's not the, you know, it's not the Royal Bank of Scotland. So, but you're right. What kind of bonds?
Yeah, right. Where do they find these high-quality bonds? I think they're all vulnerable in the current market. I know that some are going to survive and do okay. But I'm going to guess that a majority of all paper products are going to do poorly. And here's another headline that illustrates that point. This is from CNN Money. And it says, Wall Street's, this is the headline, Wall Street's disastrous start to 2016 has caused roughly $1 trillion to vanish from the stock market. All right? This is, here we are, on the 13th day of the month. This article is actually a day old or 2 days old. But they lost $1 trillion, vanished. All right? People who had said, well, I'm a rich guy. I've got a piece of paper here from the stock market that says I have $100,000 or $200,000 or maybe even $1 billion in the stock market. See, so I'm rich because I've got a piece of paper. And $1 trillion has vanished. It hasn't gone from somebody's pocket into somebody else's pocket. It's just gone. All right? Now, how is that going to return? $1 trillion is a 16th or thereabouts? 6-7% of the gross domestic product of this country? $1 trillion vanished? What's the lesson here? How many gold coins have you ever seen that just vanished in a week or 10 days or not overnight or whatever, Melody? You ever seen any gold coins just simply vanish and cease to exist?
Not at all.
That's exactly right. And this is an illustration of what we're talking about when you're saying you folks who are keeping your wealth in the form of paper, you are taking on additional risk. $1 trillion vanished from the stock market in a week. That's just mind-boggling. It's like sitting there, I thought I was rich yesterday, and then it turns out, oh, no, I'm not. All I've got are these pieces of paper that are no longer have significant meaning. If you want to invest in paper, you are exposing yourself to this bizarre vanishing act.
Hey, Al, I have Rob West calling me on the other Skype line.
Yeah.
Would you mind if I get him and bring him on the conversation?
Yeah, it's all right
for
me. Yeah.
If we don't disconnect.
Yeah.
Oh, you there? Okay. All right.
I am now.
Well, I guess it didn't work with Rob West. He wanted to call and make reference, and I apologize for any dead air on there. I hope you kept the listeners talking out.
No, I didn't keep them doing anything.
You didn't? Well.
No. You putting me on hold, Melody.
I did. Well, I didn't know how Skype would work. He was calling in on the Skype.
See what happens?
He wanted
We're going to do that. What was Melody talk or Wendy talking about? We're
going to
do some gene modification.
No, not at all. Not at all. But anyway, so continue, Al. My apologies for the interruption. And I had hoped to bring Rob on. And maybe we can talk to him tomorrow about the bond market and so forth. But go ahead, Al.
Well, I don't know. We were talking about an article from CNN Money, and the headline was Wall Street's disastrous start to 2016 has caused roughly $1 trillion to vanish. You can't make gold coins and silver coins vanish, right? You can make paper wealth vanish, vanish. It's never going to be seen again. It's gone into a black hole, and it's gone, and they're not going to recover it. Someone, and not just someone, but some group of people have lost $1 trillion last week. Right? It's gone. And they're not going to get it back. And they thought they were wealthy and they have lost $1 trillion. So there's a lesson here. It illustrates the idea we've been trying to warn people about for a couple of years on this program. Again, put your wealth. And by wealth, I mean the positive results of your work, your effort, your sweat equity. Put your wealth into something tangible that can't vanish. It doesn't mean that you can't suffer some losses, but I guarantee you, some losses are not the same as vanishing wealth. The people that had $1 trillion in the market that disappeared this last week, that's $1 trillion of their work. $1 trillion worth of their effort. It's lifetime's savings for some people. And they put it into paper and they said, ha ha, I'm a rich guy again. I have a piece of paper with somebody's signature on it, a promise to pay. I have accepted a promise to pay rather than a payment. A payment is something tangible you have in your hands. Promise to pay is just a piece of paper. $1 trillion worth of promises went poof, and they were gone last week. Right? How many are going to disappear this week or next week? And sooner or later, we're going to see that day when multiple trillions disappear. Trillion so far is a little bit unnerving, a little unsettling. We can get through it. What happens when we lose another 2 trillion or 3 trillion? At what point in time does this whole thing just collapse? And in an extraordinary disappearing act, we find out that a lot of the paper wealth is gone. I'm guessing, and I've said this, I'll bet you for 5 years now, that when this goes down, I'm guessing that at least 80% of the paper wealth will vanish. It will disappear, and it could be 90%. 10, 20% of the paper wealth, yeah, it'll survive. But most of it's going to just disappear. Not transfer from myself or yourself or someone else to some sneaky guy in the banking system or the Rothschilds or the Illuminati, or put on your, you know, your tinfoil hat and point to them, whoever they are, and they stole. No, it isn't going to be stolen. It's going to disappear. And why is it going to disappear? Because it was all nothing but an illusion to begin with. Where do we get that $1 trillion that was on the stock market? It was essentially created by the meddling of the Federal Reserve System trying to support the stock market and keep it on a bull run from 2009 through 2014. It was illusory. The gains that the bull market created were created in the most recent bull market, 2009 through 2014, the beginning of 2015. Those gains were illusory. They were imaginary. They were created by the stock market printing pieces of paper and saying, look, we'll flood a bunch of pieces of paper in here, and then the stock market will go up. It was an illusion, and that's how it's vanished. It wasn't really there to begin with. This is another one of those illustrations we talked yesterday about, that fable where everybody is complimenting the emperor on his fine clothes, which are invisible. So, oh my gosh, the emperor, you know, he's so fabulously well-dressed. And then some little kid comes in and says, that guy's naked. Well, that's what we're seeing here. Well, $1 trillion disappeared. That was some of the emperor's fine, invisible clothes. They didn't really exist. Same thing with when the Federal Reserve juices the market. And that was a term that Richard Fisher, former president of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank, he used in a recent publication just, I think it was Monday of this week. Maybe it was Friday last week. But in any case, just in the last week, Mr. Fisher came out with this argument. And he said, look, he admitted the Fed juiced the market. That was his language. In the end, he admitted, look, he didn't admit, he implied that the whole thing is fraudulent, it's phony, it's illusory, and it's what we're talking about. If you want to preserve your wealth, the years that you worked, the effort you put in going to a job that you may not have been all that crazy about, but you worked at it and you saved money and you saved your wealth. I won't say you saved money, but you saved your wealth. If you saved it in the form of a piece of paper, you are in danger. It's like storing your wealth in balloons. Say, look, I've got a big balloon. I'm a wealthy guy. No, you got a little piece of rubber that's been stretched. And if it gets popped, all of a sudden, you know, your wealth is gone. So there's the lesson in the article. CNN Money, Wall Street's disastrous start to 2016 has caused roughly $1 trillion to vanish from the stock market. Can't happen with gold. I don't care what the price of gold is, the gold is still there. It can happen with your pieces of paper, so govern yourself accordingly. What else do we think, Melody?
Well, I think we need to go to a break.
Oh, we do?
Yes, we do.
I thought we already took a break when we were on hold.
What was Wendy talking about the first segment of the program?
I don't remember. It's so hard for me to keep track of these things at my age. I just, you know.
We'll be back.
Take a break. We'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and got another article here. This was ultimately from Mish Shedlock at his Global Trend Analysis. I can't recall the proper name of his blog, but Mish Shedlock, some of you recognize the name. And the headline is, Europe fears bail-ins. Capital flight intensifies in Italy, France, Spain. Are German banks safe? What's the point of the article? The point is that the European Union and the European Central Bank have declared that bail-ins are okay in banks, and some countries have authorized these.
It was legislation that was passed and went into effect the first of the year, 2016.
And what it means is that if the bank gets into financial bind, it can simply take your money, what you regard as your money, out of your bank account in that bank, and it can use it to stay alive, to support itself. Instead of getting a bailout from the government or the European Central Bank, they get a bail-in from the depositors in the bank, and their money will vanish. Well, it won't vanish. That's not true. It's not like the stock market we're talking about, where $1 trillion simply disappeared last week. Right? That's not what's going to happen. It will be transferred from your account to the banks. That's all. And your account will be bye-bye. There won't be anything left there. Your little digital dollars and cents, your ones and zeros on the hard drive, they're going to be moved to another sector of the hard drive. And you, once again, just like the people invested in the stock market, are going to see, oh my gosh, my paper wealth and or my digital wealth is all of a sudden gone. I don't have access to it anymore. Well, what's the result? Capital flight. The government, in its infinite wisdom, and the central banks, they said, it's okay to have bail-ins. And the depositors, at least some of them, they said, that's crazy. I'm not going to let the bank take my money. And so what they've done is they're pulling their money out of the banks. And this is
you look at it and you wonder, how could they have been so stupid to tell people that they could have bail-ins and yet be surprised that there's capital flight? The money is going somewhere else. They're trying to find a place, or the currency is going somewhere else. These paper dollars and paper euros and or digital euros, they're moving from the banks that can do bail-ins to other places where bail-ins are not a threat. Which means when the government in Europe and or the central bank in Europe, and they said, the European Central Bank, when they said, okay, bail-ins are cool, they set in motion a tendency in Europeans to take their capital and flee, which will hurt the economy. Right? They did this to presumably save the banks, but in doing so, they have endangered their own economy. And there's a kind of lesson here that there's some things you just can't get away with. These people that are running the countries, running the national economy, the European economy, the U.S. economy, so on, they think they can pull any stunt that they can imagine, like negative interest rates. And everybody's just going to sit there like a bunch of dummies and say, well, sure, I'll accept negative interest rates on my deposits. And some people will. But people who are a little bit intelligent, and particularly if they have a fairly large amount of money, they're going to say, huh, I'm not going to take it. Negative interest rates. I'm getting out of here. And when they leave, the loss of their capital, the movement of their capital to banks and other places, maybe in other parts of the world, it's going to hurt the local economy. And the lesson is there's only so many stunts you can pull before the dummies out there, the taxpayers, the consumers, some of them start to wake up and say, wait a second, they just made $1 trillion disappear in this U.S. stock market, and they're threatening to take our money out of the bank account to support the bank. Time to pack. Time to beat feet. Time to get out of here and protect our wealth. We're telling you on this program that one of the ways that you may want, if you're interested, if capital flight is something that you're thinking about, do you want to really take your digital dollars out of the bank of the First National Bank of Germany, for example, or the First National Bank of Italy, better example even, assuming there is such a thing. Do you want to take it out of that and move it into the Second National Bank of Spain or Greece or Cyprus or some other country? Or do you want to take your wealth that you have in the form of digits, electronic digits in the First National Bank of Italy, and move it, instead of fleeing to another country or another bank, why not flee into something tangible like gold or silver? If you're susceptible to capital flight, one of the places you may want to flee to is something tangible, gold, silver, bah, bah, bah. Is that true or false, Melody?
No, I mean, we've been, you know, there's only one place gold is going to go, gold and silver. And ever since they put us on the fiat currency, there's only one direction. And over a period of time, gold has done what needs to be done. And all these people who say gold is going to 700, gold is going to 600, gold is going to 250 has put a fear into people, and people have been shying away from gold. And you can't believe those predictions. Look at other predictions that have been mentioned over the years, and they've all been wrong. Yes, the whole commodity sector has corrected. And but gold and silver, I believe, are breaking out from they're not commodities. Silver more so than gold. It became an industrial commodity. But I believe silver will follow gold. Gold, they're money, Al.
Is in particular. Silver is sometimes money and sometimes commodity. It's less clear with silver, in my opinion. But gold, monetary metal.
Absolutely. And silver will follow gold. And the predictions that I see, you know, Al, people get away from the fundamentals. Fundamentals are boring. They're not sexy. They're not exciting. They're boring. You know, and then when you get the big drops in the stock market, you get all these analysts saying, hey, the RBS come out and say, sell, sell, sell everything, you know, get into bonds. You know, hey, you know, that it's, you know, that's the safe place to go. And usually bonds will be the first, you'll see the first jump into bonds, mainly because it's easier to transfer large sums of money into bonds, and that's what they do. And then later on, you'll see, you know, afterwards, you'll begin to see people move into gold as they walk away. They take a step back and see what's going on, and they'll end up picking up gold at that point in time. So it's, we've seen it before. We're going to see it again, and there just isn't anything out there that will preserve your purchasing power like gold and silver.
Well, Royal Bank of Scotland, as they were arguing, they were coming to a cataclysmic moment. And they're saying sell everything, but high quality bonds. Well, I'm questioning where do you find high quality bonds? You want to sell everything? All right, sell it. But put, you know, get yourself some gold, get some silver. If the object now is the preservation of wealth, all right, not the vanishing of wealth, not the disappearance of wealth, the preservation of wealth. It may even be that the price of gold, maybe it'll drop. But wealth will be preserved. It will not disappear. You can't make that statement. It will not vanish. It may be that your bonds are going to vanish. It certainly has happened that $1 trillion worth of stock vanished, right? Last week, right? $1 trillion. Bye-bye. And it's not coming back. Right? You're not going to get that back in any meaningful sense. That's gone. Just disappeared. Can't do it with gold. People can argue gold is going to go to this price or another price. Well, maybe, maybe not. But it's not going to disappear. It will not vanish. There will be wealth in that gold from now until heck freezes over. You can't say that about your paper debt instruments. Speaking of the economy and whatever sort of problems we have right now, we have an article that was originally published by the Dollar Vigilante. And the headline is, "Nothing is moving. Baltic Dry Index crashes as insiders warn commerce has come to a halt." Well, the article, as it turns out, is a little bit over-exaggerated. There are some ships moving, but they pointed to a number of marinetraffic.com, for example, keeps track of how many ships there are that are at sea right now and where they are and where they're going. And that they read that to indicate that there was no movement between Europe and the United States. It had stopped. Well, that wasn't quite true. There's still some movement going on, but it is minimal. The Baltic Dry Index is now at the lowest level since they started tracking shipping in 1985. It is at the lowest level. It has averaged in the neighborhood of, on their index, 1,200, 1,300, 1,300. The index had run on a monthly, yearly basis, run in the neighborhood. But it's been as high as 2,000. And it started out around maybe 600. It's now down in the neighborhood of 414. Right? This is just evidence. Look, we have a global recession for sure and depression probably. And insofar as that's true, it's it's incumbent on each of us to do what you can to protect yourselves. I don't need to leave your money in the bank if you want to. But it's vulnerable. It's vulnerable to disappearing. If the bank goes under, what happens to your deposits? If the FDIC doesn't have enough money to cover all of this, this is just another illustration that we're in a serious problem right now. We're not just hitting a little bump on the road. It may be that there's going to be corrections. We don't know where this is going to go, but we are at least in serious jeopardy at the moment. And insofar as that's true, you're going to have to make a choice. Do you want to keep your wealth in paper and in electronic digits, or do you want to put your wealth into something that will actually be preserved? It will still be here. If assuming we went into another depression and lasted for 5 years, if you had your wealth stored in the form of gold, you get to the other end of that depression, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. That gold is still going to have value. You cannot say that with absolute certainty about any of your digital or paper investments. You're gambling. It's your wealth, your work, your effort. That's what actually produces. That's how you got, unless you inherited or you stole. That's how you got the money that you, the currency that you put into stocks or bonds or bank deposits. That's a reflection of your effort for years. You want to risk it? Yeah, that's your business. Go ahead and do it. But, you know, we're warning you, and we've been warning you for years, and it's a difficult thing to watch how long the system has been able to survive despite the warnings and despite the logic that is at least apparent to me when you look at the system and say, oh, this thing's in big trouble. But it's survived for several more years than I would have thought possible, but it does appear that we are quite possibly on the edge of something serious. Yes, Melody?
You know, you're right. No one knows the date and time. They're very powerful, and they have every mechanism at their fingertips to keep the system going, and globally they have it. But it gives you another day, and I'll tell you what, people sit down and they wish this would end. You know, that finally they let the system collapse, let the governments default. But you know what, folks? It's going to be nasty when it happens.
For everybody.
So you should be thankful that we have every day to prepare and to get ready, not only financially, but also mentally. And it's going to be nasty. People's lives are going to be lost.
Some people are, but you know what else is going to be lost? Time to chat today because we're out of time, Melody.
And we do need to talk about that, about how severe and what you can expect. It's you know, there will be blood in the streets, no doubt about it. So, all right, Al.
All right, we're out of time, folks. Thank you for listening. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. Money, always sunny in a rich man's world.